Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To make some closing remarks, I don't see any other members on our side that want to seek recognition, so just to make some closing remarks.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, again, we arrive at the same place we did last year. You know, we have a certain amount of money, and we do the best we can with what we have. Not everybody is happy with every decision that was made in this budget, and I understand that. There's a lot of people in this chamber that wish we had more money to spend, but the fact of the matter is we don't. There hasn't been any tax increases. There hasn't been any additional revenue coming in from economic recovery. So we got to deal with the now. We have to deal with and balance the books on what we have. And I believe that's what we've done over the course of this whole budget. Now, on the issue specifically of House Committee Substitute for House Bill 2011, I think it's important to note that we have created the Blind Medical Subsidy Transitional Fund, with the concept being that the fund as it currently exists is absolutely not means tested at all. You can make six digits. You can make $100,000 a year. You could be an attorney. And if you think that's not possible, just think for a moment about the Chief Justice of our Supreme Court. He does a fine job, happens to be blind. Now, he's obviously not on this because he's on state benefits with his position with the state. But there are blind folks out there that do have incomes, that make a very successful living. And those are the folks that would be on this program. Now, not everybody on this program, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying everybody on this program is going to be in that boat. But a fair number will. And until we look at means testing this program, we don't know who they are. We don't know how many of them there are. And that's why we created a transitional benefit that would help look at who needs it the most, who is the closest to the bubble, and let's try and take care of those people. But to continue to just write checks year after year to the exclusion of every other disability for people who clearly have an income and who have 10 times the qualified assets of what we allow for anyone else on Medicaid, it's just simply unsustainable. You know, as I've had conversations about this program with a number of people around the state, one of the things that I talk about is if this program didn't exist today, if this was something that was not in existence, we weren't doing it, who in this room would file the bill to create this program and spend $30 million on it today? And I haven't met one person who would say, you know what, I would try to find $30 million to the exclusion of all other disabilities and create this program today. And that's just the truth. If it didn't exist, it wouldn't come into existence today because we can't afford it. It's unsustainable. Now, nobody likes to take away things from people that they already have them. They don't. But again, we all like to go back home and tell people that we're elected to make tough decisions. But time and time again, when those tough decisions come up, not a lot of people want to actually make them. You know, the governor has chosen to politicize this by ramping up the rhetoric. Last week, while we were all at home, he's having campaign rallies. He's getting people ginned up about this issue, saying how terrible we are. Now, obviously not everybody in this chamber, but I've tried to engage him. I sent him a letter. It's been well over 30 days since this became public for the first time, that this decision was first discussed in the gentleman from Jasper's district, or Appropriations Committee. Well over 30 days. In that time, we've seen press releases, we've seen campaign rallies, we've heard statements about how hard the governor's going to work to restore this. Not once has he reached out and said, look, I understand that you guys want to fund education. I want to fund this. Perhaps we can find a solution. Not once. The only thing that's ever come out is, well, I gave you a budget and you should pass my budget. So, in other words, he's fighting for us to cut education. And I'm just not going to take that anymore. We've cut education in higher ed for the last several years, and I'm done. I'm done with that. Now, if in this process, maybe the Senate can find a way to restore some funding that doesn't come from education, then I'm all ears, and we'll talk about that in conference. But it's interesting that through this entire debate, we heard from a number of people that are outraged about this, that didn't offer amendments to fix it. Not one person in this room wanted to cut $28 million from higher education and put it back. Okay? I've been very clear about this through the entire process. That $28 million went to higher education. Out of all of the outrage that we've heard about this, not one person said, I want to put that back. Not one. And you know, it's going to be interesting to me on Thursday when we third read this budget, because we're going to get ready and do a series of voice votes here in a minute. But it's going to be interesting to me. I'm going to be watching on House Bill 3. And I'm going to see how many people that are outraged about this cut to the blind folks are going to vote against House Bill 3, because that's where the money went. So if you don't like where it's coming from, you shouldn't like spending it. But I have a sneaky suspicion that most of the people in this room are going to vote for House Bill 3, because they want to fund education. They just want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to fund education and vote for that bill, and then they want to come in and say, but I don't want to do this. I don't like where it comes from. Well, Mr. Speaker, that's just not going to fly. So with that, I don't see anyone else seeking recognition on our side. I'd be happy to yield you time if you do. But if not, I'm ready to get to the roll call vote so that we can perfect this budget and go home.